Good afternoon, I'm Hannah Levine. You have it tuned to the home stretch, only here on 91.3 FM, KXCI Tucson. It is just past 4 o'clock on Monday, which means it's time to welcome my regular guest. Chris Carey volunteers his time each week to select and research our classic picks, and this week he's got a classic goth record here. We're taking a look at The Cure's Head on the Door. Came out right around this time back in 1985. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks for having me. If some of my contemporaries don't already feel old, they can now because this album came out 35 years ago this month. I still feel like The Cure is not that old of a band. The Cure formed in a small town in southern England in 1976. They originally called themselves Malice, which I think is a pretty good band name. And then they changed it to Easy Cure, which is not a good band name. And then
settled, agreed.
And then settled on just The Cure, simply The Cure, in 1978. There's been several lineup changes over the years, with some members coming and going. But the only constant member is the principal songwriter, vocalist, and guitarist, Robert Smith. He's not the principal guitarist, but he does play guitar. The Cure first began releasing music in the late 70s with their debut, Three Imaginary Boys. And initially, the band was kind of more of the post-punk new wave movement, which, you know, developed alongside punk rock. But very soon, the music getting darker and moving into the 80s, they became one of the most prominent bands within the emerging gothic rock scene. And gothic rock, for as small as this group of bands that it encompasses, they're very influential. Goth rock is basically just post-punk with a darker, more introspective and kind of romantic lyrical themes. And it gave rise to a broader subculture with its own clubs, fashions, publications, and even, I guess, stores on the mall, if you consider Hot Topic. But, you know, typically some of the big bands that are considered goth bands include Joy Division, Susie and the Banshees, which Robert Smith actually played guitar for a time early on in the band's history. Love and Rockets, Bauhaus, Gene Loves Jezebel, Clan of Zymox, Sisters of Mercy. So the early records that they did in the 80s, like 17 Seconds, Faith, Pornography, were all very gothic. And then by the mid-80s, specifically with The Top and then this album, Robert Smith kind of started experimenting more with a little bit varied styles and more of a kind of a pop sensibility. They never really abandoned the goth kind of vibe, but it definitely did get a little bit more upbeat, and he worked a lot more elements of pop into his writing. This was recorded in early 1985 at Angel Recording Studios in London. And what's kind of cool about that is it was a 100-year-old church at the time that had been converted into a studio. The Cure and Susie and the Banshees were actually the two first bands to record in this. And it since has become a pretty well-known studio with bands like Rush and Seal and Florence and the Machine, Goldfrapp, and a bunch of others recorded in here, including Adele recorded her 21 in the same studio. Production credit is split between Robert Smith and David Allen. Robert Smith had been involved in production work since The Cure's sophomore release, 17 Seconds. And Allen, at the time when he was working on this record, he was still kind of on the newer end of his, or I should say the earlier end of his career. He had worked with The Cure on the 1984 release, The Top, and he went ahead and worked with The Cure not only on this album, but also on Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Disintegration, and The Wish. So in my opinion, David Allen worked with Robert Smith on some of the most influential Cure releases. Allen also worked with Sisters of Mercy, Wire, The Damned, The Mission, Psychedelic Furs, Depeche Mode, and several others. Actually, I meant to mention here too, because this is kind of cool, The Head on the Door is the first LP where Robert Smith wrote and composed every song on the album. Prior to that, he would work with some other band members, but The Cure essentially has always kind of been Robert Smith's project, even though there's been some other people that have been pretty integral. Commercially, this record was the most successful release up to that point. Prior to this release, The Cure had been kind of an underground band. They were a little bit more successful in the UK, but they'd never really charted in the US, and they'd only charted modest slots on the UK album chart. But thanks to the singles In Between Days and Close to Me, which were huge on the US college radio stations and very big on the UK pop charts, this record ended up peaking 59 on the Billboard Top 200 and did very well in the college charts, and it peaked at number 7 on the UK album chart. It also was on the top 20 in nearly every other European chart. And this actually, Head in the Door, is the very first gold LP that The Cure was able to get both in the UK and the US. Critically, everybody loved this. They got accolades in the UK, Australia, New Zealand, the US, Canada. Everybody that reviewed this record gave it a very good review, and it ended up on many best of lists for 1985. Over time, this record has grown quite a bit, and many people see this as one of the most influential albums to come out of the goth world. And as we've gotten more time depth, this was the album where The Cure left from being a purely goth kind of band to more of a band with goth influences that was more mainstream. And basically, this album became more or less the blueprint for how everything else The Cure released after this kind of sounded like. This was the record to put them on the map. Prior to this album, they were playing, you know, small to mid-sized clubs. With this record, they were playing big venues, and before long, they were playing very big venues. This album was incredibly wildly popular all throughout the U.S., particularly on college campuses, and they followed it up by releasing a singles compilation, Staring at the Sea, in 1986, which sold just about as well as this did, and they did a tour not only for Head on the Door, but when they released Staring at the Sea in 1986, and both of those tours were very well received. When they released Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me, and Disintegration, you know, The Cure just kind of entered the stratosphere there. And I was lucky enough to see The Cure a couple of times, once in like 89, 90, and another, and I think again in 91, 92. And they were big venues, and they were both very cool shows.
Oh, you are a lucky person. I never did get to see them. I know that they still do pop up and do shows here and there, but man, to see them in the late 80s or the early 90s, would have been incredible.
It was
live
awesome.
Footage. I've seen enough live footage to know that they put enough effort into recreating and also kind of elevating their recorded material in a live context. So I bet that was extraordinary.
They both were amazing shows. I saw them on the Disintegration, tour, and again on the Wish tour. And I remember the Wish tour, it was in an amphitheater. And I don't know if you remember the band The Cranes, who were also very cool.
Oh, I love The Cranes.
Yeah, The Cranes opened up on that second show. I can't remember who opened on the first show, but it was so cool. And it was outside. I was living in Missouri at the time, so this was in St. Louis. And there was a huge storm front blowing through, and half of the sky was sunny and blue, and the other half of the sky was like ominous and about a gothic sky, as you can imagine.
Perfect.
And it never stormed, and the wind just whipped, and it was I think that's probably one of the best concerts I ever went to. It was a really good show.
Wow.
To sum all this up a little bit, is that, you know, out of all the bands that emerged out of that early post-punk kind of gothic scene, The Cure is probably the most enduring and most influential, possibly matched by Depeche Mode, because Depeche Mode has been very influential in a different way. And even though they're more electronic than The Cure, they're kind of the same way. They're kind of this electronic pop meets gothic act. The Cure released 13 studio albums, 5 live albums, a bunch of compilations and extended play releases, and sold millions of records. They've yet to be awarded a Grammy, which is kind of crazy. And the last time we talked about The Cure, which was a few years ago, I think when we talked about Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me, at that point, they hadn't been admitted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but last year they were inducted. The only other thing I'm going to say, and then I'll wrap it up, is I realized yesterday when I was working on this album, this is the 600th album I've reviewed for KXCI.
Aww.
I know. And so I was like, if I divide that up, you know, on average of one a week, that means it's like 11 and a half years I've been reviewing.
Well, thank you for your service, good sir.
Well, yeah, I didn't realize I had that many, and I only keep track of it because I'm obsessive compulsive and I like to know what I've done in the past, but I sometimes refer to old reviews. But anyway, I just thought that was kind of cool.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Chris.